So, good morning and happy Christmas to everyone. So we've been reading in book 11, book of Everlasting Day, and it just has one long canto, which is called The Soul's Choice and the Supreme Consummation. And we have come to the place where Savitri is given the opportunity to make the supreme choice in the transcendent realm for earth and men. So since we've reached this place, and since it's Christmas Day, and since Mother has read a long reading of this whole passage, we thought that today we would listen to that before we do anything else. Yeah. So, you have a message to give.
Please turn off your soul-filled cell phones. And when the mother's finished, you can turn them on again.
Page 696 at the top, line 894. I think this is where Mother starts.
Starts with true spirit, by supreme choice, not
unity. From last week's lesson, I have just what we said around her, and tremendous spirit.
True to speed
line you indicated.
Well, let's listen to the recording. I always thought it started there, around her, but maybe
yeah,
it.
Around her.
Yes. But Margaret's saying it begins a little lower down. But there are two different versions. So let's see which one we've got.
What is from the ashram?
That begins with
choose. Choose. The prasad, the better quality, but
they're not
sure.
898.
Okay.
Oh, he'll listen to your version. This lasts about 37 minutes.
Thy supreme choice, not given again. For now, from my highest being, look at thee, the nameless, formless being, where all things arise, in a happy, vast, sublime cessation. No, an immense extinction in eternity, a point that disappears in the infinite felicity of the extinguished flame. Last of a way in a boundless sea, end of the troubles of
Margaret,
thy wandering thoughts, close of the journey of thy pilgrim. So accept, O music, weariness of thy notes, O stream, wide breaking of thy channel bank, the moment fails into eternity. but someone yearned within a bosom unknown, and silently the woman's heart replied, "Thy peace, O Lord, a boon within to keep amid the roar and ruin of wild time for the magnificent soul of man on earth. Thy calm, O Lord, that bears thy hands of joy. Limitless like ocean round the lonely isle, a second time the eternal cry arose, wide open are the ineffable gates in front. My spirit leans down to break the knot of earth, amorous of oneness, without thought or sign, to cast down wall and fence, to strip heaven bare, see with the large eye of infinity, and weave the stars and into silence bar. In an immense and world-destroying pause, she heard a million creatures cry to her through the tremendous stillness of her thoughts. Immeasurably, the woman's nature spoke, "Thy oneness, Lord, in many approaching hearts, my sweet infinity of thy numberless souls. Mightily retreating like a sea in ebb, a third time swelled the great admonishing call. I spread abroad the refuge of my wings, out of its incommunicable depths my power looks forth of mightiest splendor. Still into its majesty of sleep withdraw above the dreadful whirlings of the world." A sob of things was answered to the voice, and passionately the woman's heart replied, "Thy energy, Lord, to seize on woman and man, to take all things and creatures in their grief and gather them into a mother's arms, solemn and distant, like a seer of flash, a last great time, the warning sound was heard. I open the wide eye of solitude to uncover the voiceless rapture of my bliss, where in a pure and exquisite hush it lies motionless in its slumber of ecstasy, resting from the sweet madness of the dance, out of whose beat the throb of hearts was born, breaking the silence with a peal and cry, a hymn of adoration starless climbed, a music beat of wind uniting soul. Then all the woman yearningly replied, thy embrace, which rends the living knot of pain. Thy joy, O Lord, in which all creatures breathe, thy magic flowing waters of deep love, thy sweetness, gift for us. And then, after silence, a still, blissful cry began, such as arose from the infinite, when the first whispering of a strange delight imagine in its deep the joy to seek, the passion to discover and to touch, the enamored laugh which rhymes the chanting word, oh, beautiful body of the incarnate word, thy thoughts are mine. I have spoken with thy voice, my will is thine, what thou hast chosen I choose, all thou hast asked I give to earth and men, all shall be written out in destiny's book by my trusty of thought and plan and act, the executor of my will, eternal time. But since thou hast refused my nameless calm and turned from my termless peace, in which is expunged the visage of space, and the shape of time is lost, and from happy extinction of thy separate self in my uncompanioned lone eternity, for not for thee, the nameless worldless north, annihilation of thy living soul, and the end of thought and hope and life and love in this blank, measureless, unknowable, because thou hast obeyed my timeless will. I lay my hands upon thy soul aflame. I lay my hands upon thy heart of love. I yoke thee to my power of working time, because thou hast obeyed my timeless will, because thou hast chosen to share earth's struggle and fate, and leaned in pity over earth-bound men, and turned aside to help and yearn to save. I bind by thy heart's passion, thy heart to mine, and lay my splendid yoke upon thy soul. Now will I do in thee my marvelous work. I will fasten thy nature with my cords of strength, subdue to my delight thy spirit's limbs, and make thee a vivid knot of all my bliss, and build in thee my proud and crisp home. Thy days shall be my shafts of power and life, thy nights my starry mysteries of joy, and all my clouds lie tangled in thy hair, and all my springtime marry in thy mouth, O sun world. Thou shalt raise the earth's soul to light, and bring down God into the lives of men. Earth shall be my work chamber and my house, my garden of life, to plant the seed divine. When all thy work in human time is done, the mind of earth shall be a home of life, the life of earth a tree growing towards heaven, the body of earth a tabernacle of God, awakened from the mortal's ignorance. Men shall be lit with the eternal's ray, and the glory of my sun lift in their thoughts, and feel in their hearts the sweetness of my love, and in their acts my power's miraculous drive, my will shall be the meaning of their days, living for me, by me, in me they shall live. In the heart of my creation's mystery, I will enact the drama of thy soul, inscribe the long romance of thee and me. I will pursue thee across the century. Thou shalt be hunted through the world by love, naked of ignorance protecting veil, and without covert from my radiant gods. No shape shall screen thee from my divine desire. Nowhere shalt thou escape my living eye. In the nudity of thy discovered self, in a bare identity with all that is, disrobed of thy covering of humanity, divested of the dense veil of human thought, made one with every mind and body and heart, made one with all nature and with self and God, summing in thy single soul my mystic word. I will possess in thee my universe, the universe, find all I am in thee. Thou shalt bear all things, that all things may change. Thou shalt fill the all with my splendor and my bliss. Thou shalt meet all with my transmuting soul. Assailed by my infinitudes above, and quivering in immense cities below, pursued by me through my mind's wall less vast, oceanic with the surges of my life, a swimmer lost between two leaping seas, by my outer pains and inner sweetnesses, finding my joy in my opposite mysteries, thou shalt respond to me from every nerve. A vision shall compel thy coursing breath. Thy heart shall drive thee on the wheel of wax. Thy mind shall urge thee through the flames of thought to meet me in the abyss and on the heights, to feel me in the tempest and in the calm, and love me in the noble and the vital, in beautiful things and terrible desires. The pains of hell shall be to thee my kiss. The flowers of heaven persuade thee with my touch. My fiercest mask shall my attractions bring. Music shall find thee in the voice of song. Beauty pursue thee through the core of a flame. Thou shalt know me in the rolling of the stars, and cause me in the atoms of the world. The wheeling forces of my universe shall cry to thee the summons of my name. The light shall drop down from my nectarous moon. My fragrance sees thee in the jasmine snare. My eye shall look upon thee from the sun. Mirror of nature's secret spirit made, thou shalt reflect my hidden heart of joy. Thou shalt drink down my sweetness unalloyed in my pure lotus cup of starry brim. My dreadful hands laid on thy bosom shall force thy being bathed in fiercest longing stream. Thou shalt discover the one and quivering note and cry the harp of all my melodies and roll my foaming wave in seas of love. Even with my disaster's clutch shall be to thee the ordeal of my rapture's contrary shape. In pain's self shall smile on thee my secret fate. Thou shalt bear my wrathless beauty unabridged amid the world's intolerable wrongs, trampled by the violent misdeeds of time, cry out to the ecstasy of my rapturous touch. All beings shall be to thy life my emissaries, drawn to me on the bosom of thy friend, compelled to meet me in thy enemy's eyes. My creatures shall demand me from thy heart. Thou shalt not shrink from any brother's soul. Thou shalt be attracted helplessly to all. Men seeing thee shall feel my hands of joy in sorrow's pangs, feel steps of the world's delight, their life experience its tumultuous shock in the mutual craving of two opposite hearts. Touched by thy love shall answer to my call, discover the ancient music of the sphere in the revealing of thy voice, and nearer draw to me because thou art enamored of thy spirit's loveliness. They shall embrace my body in thy soul. Here in thy life the beauty of my love. Know the thrilled bliss with which I made the words. All that thou hast shall be for others' bliss. All that thou art shall to my hands belong. I will pour delight from thee as from a jar. I will whirl thee as my chariot through the way. I will use thee as my sword and as my lyre. I will play on thee my minstrelsies of thought. And when thou art vibrant with all ecstasy, and when thou lifts one spirit with all things, then will I spare thee not my living fire, but make thee a channel for my timeless force. My hidden presence led thee unknowing on from thy beginning in earth's voiceless bosom, through life and pain and time and will and death, through outer shocks and inner silences, along the misty roads of space and time, to the experience which all nature hides. Who hunts and seizes me, my captive grows. This shalt thou henceforth learn from thy heart beats. Forever love, O beautiful slave of God. O lasso of my rapture, just widening news, become my cord of universal love. The spirit ensnared by the force to delight of creation's oneness, sweet and fathomless, compelled to embrace my myriad unities and all my endless forms and divine soul. O mind, grow full of the eternal peace. O world, cry out the immortal litany. Built is the golden tower. The flame child born.
So if you wish, we can go back to page 696 and look at words closely. And first we can look at these choices that she's given. She'd been told, see things, no? Discover the truth of God and man and world, and then choose. Do thy task, knowing and seeing all. And this voice offers her four supreme possibilities. We look at them one by one. Will you start?
Choose spirit.
Louder.
Choose spirit, thy supreme choice, not given again. For now, from my highest being looks at thee, the nameless, formless peace, where all things rest. In a happy, vast, sublime cessation, know an immense extinction in eternity, a point that disappears in the infinite felicity of the extinguished flame, last sinking of a wave in a boundless sea, end of the trouble of thy wandering thoughts, close of the journeying of thy pilgrim soul. Accept, O music, weariness of thy notes, O stream, wide breaking of thy channel banks.
Mm. This voice is coming from the highest being, Purushottama, perhaps we could. And the voice tells Savitri, from that highest being of mine, I'm looking at you with the nameless, formless peace where all things rest, the ultimate peace. And she is invited to disappear into that, to enjoy a happy, vast, sublime cessation, to cease to exist, to melt into that nameless, formless peace. She's invited to experience an immense extinction in eternity, just disappearing into eternity. She is a point that can disappear in the infinite. He says, you will experience the felicity, the great delight of the extinguished flame, the flame that has been put out, that no longer exists. The last sinking of a wave in a boundless sea, the wave that's no longer a wave, that's just absorbed in the limitless sea. That will be, for you as a human individual, the end of all the trouble of thy wandering thoughts. It'll be the close, the end of the journey of your pilgrim soul that's been on such a long pilgrimage. No? He addresses as, O music, you are such a beautiful melody, but accept weariness of thy notes. Let them go. You're like a stream of energy. Accept breaking of thy channel banks, those banks that define that stream of energy. If they break, the energy will just melt into the eternal and the infinite.
This is a description of nirvana, or is it beyond nirvana?
I don't really want to use this word nirvana, which is a bit... anyway, what it is we could say this is a fulfillment of many longings of our souls, no? And longings that have been the goal of many paths of spiritual seeking. That this is the ultimate experience that's offered.
The Supreme Choice not given again.
Yes. So she's being given this chance from the transcendent level to make a choice. This will be the last chance. When you've made that choice, you've made it. You can't go back on it. No? And this is a very, very important and significant choice. Are you going to accept to cease to exist? And he makes it sound very alluring, as it has been very alluring to human souls. No? Whenever we read this, I feel, oh, if anybody offered me this choice.
No? I think in your picture of meditation of Savitri is also that Savitri is, the last is in this point, in one point. I don't know if it's from this one or from another experience. There's a picture that she just
became. Oh, yes, that is in Book 7. That is in Canto 6 of Book 7, where she experiences the loss of ego.
Yeah.
And there she becomes this violet trace. Mm. And it seems then as if she could become extinct. But then she doesn't make the choice. She just waits to see what is the Supreme's will. And eventually, in Canto 7, she's given a very different experience, the identity with the cosmic spirit and the cosmic consciousness, where she feels herself filling the whole universe, united with the divine, feeling all beings in herself, experiencing the identity with the rose. Mm. And then she, at the very last lines of that last canto of Book 7, she rises higher into this transcendent state, perhaps. But now she's being offered this choice, not only for herself individually. Of course, he's offering it to her. You could be aware that you have this choice. You've come to a point where you can make this choice. So now what are you going to choose? So what does she choose? Lyuba.
The moons fell into eternity, but someone yawned within a bosom unknown, and silently the woman's heart with light. Thy peace, O Lord, a boon within to keep, amid the robe and room of wild time, for the magnificent soul of man on earth. Thy cup, O Lord, that bears thy hands of joy.
Mm, thank you. So she's been offered this eternal, limitless peace, and she doesn't refuse it. She says, give me that peace to be kept within, amid the roar and ruin of wild time, for the magnificent soul of man on earth. Men should be able to carry this peace of yours within their soul. Grant me this boon, the calm, O Lord, that calm which is able to bear the touch of your hands of joy.
So she doesn't negate, she just gives like a shopping list of what she wants out of what he's got to do.
Whatever he offers her, she says, give it to me for earth and men.
I wrote a reference with page six. When,
yes, okay, yeah, and can you find it?
Yeah, the calm delight that weds one soul to all.
The calm delight that weds one soul to all, yes.
Not a person.
Mm-hmm. Patty.
Limitless like ocean round a lonely isle, a second time the eternal cry arose. Wide open are the ineffable gates in front. My spirit leans down to break the knot of earth. Amorous of oneness without thought or sign, to cast down wall and fence, to strip heaven bare, see with the large eye of infinity, unweave the stars and into silence pass.
Thank you. So he's saying, there's no barriers in front of you. These ineffable, inexpressible gates They are open in front. And my spirit is leaning down, ready to break the knot of earth, to make you free of matter. Loving that oneness, that absolute pure, bare oneness in which there's no thought and there's no sign, there's no distinction or determination, no forms or appearances. That oneness where all walls and fences are broken down, where even the delights of heaven are stripped bare, he invites her to see with the large eye of infinity and to decide to unweave the stars, dissolve the universe, pass into silence. You can choose this, he says.
Unweave the stars.
It's a wonderful poetic expression, no? It's as if the stars are made of woven energy. If you want, you can just dissolve that. You can choose that. Let it all come to an end.
And dissolve the energy.
Going even beyond the energy into the infinite silence.
There's one Savitri of the whole universe, he's saying.
He's asking, is this offered just for Savitri, or would it apply to the whole universe? I think we can say that it would be for her. Yes. This is one of these spiritual, realities, that the soul can dissolve all this for itself, but it will go on persisting for all the other souls until they are also ready to dissolve it. I mean, there are philosophical arguments about this, but here I don't think she's being given the choice to just destroy the cosmos. No.
Eye of infinity, it is being lent to her.
Yes, see how things are. No, you can see with the eye of infinity, and then you will have the power to dissolve all this. But perhaps he's offering it to her for the whole cosmos. If you want, you have the power, you are the creative power. You can dissolve this whole exercise. And that would give meaning to this next sentence.
Savitri is asking for the whole, he's not asking for herself.
Yes, exactly. Yes, perhaps it's for the whole universe. So what is, yeah.
Like in a poem, there's always this way or that, you can
be both. It is both, of course. Yeah. You would read Sudha?
In an immense and world-destroying call, she heard a million creatures cry to her through the tremendous stillness of her thoughts. In misery, the woman's nature is born. Thy oneness, Lord, in my acknowledging heart, my sweet infinity of thy numberless souls.
Thank you. So there's a moment, an immense and world-destroying pause, when it seems as if, yes, everything could just be dissolved. But Savitri hears all these creatures calling out to her. So through the tremendous stillness of her thoughts, she replies, the woman's nature spoke, and she asks for thy oneness, Lord, that oneness without wall or fence, all that. I asking for that to be experienced in many hearts that are approaching you.
In this world destroying
where he's offered her the possibility of unweaving the stars and destroying the whole cosmos. So what is she going to say? Is she going to say, yes, let's go for that oneness? But she says, no, I want that experience of oneness to be felt in all the many, many hearts and in my sweet infinity of thy numberless souls. All those many, many souls are your souls. They can experience their oneness with you and with each other. Don.
Mightily retreating like a sea in ebb, a third time swelled the great admonishing call. I spread abroad the refuge of my wings, out of its incommunicable deeps, out of its incommunicable deeps. My power looks forth of mightiest splendor, of mightiest splendor, still into its majesty of sleep, withdrawn above the dreadful whirlings of the world.
Yes. So the first time it was peace, and the second time oneness. And now he's speaking about power withdrawn. I'm spreading abroad the refuge of my wings. I can take everything back into myself. Out of its incommunicable deeps, my power of mightiest splendor looks out, stilled into a majesty of sleep, withdrawn above the dreadful whirlings of the world. It would also mean the end of the manifestation. Can't hear.
For me, it seems to be saying that it will be in the matter. It will come in the matter.
No, I don't think so. This is his power which is supporting all the manifestation, all the worlds, the subtle worlds and the material world. This can be withdrawn. This power can be stilled. Then there'll be no movement anymore.
Couldn't be the end of something, new to start. That is the only thing that I can hear.
The power will still be there,
yeah.
But it will be withdrawn. Mm-hmm. So the manifestation, everything that power is expressing and supporting, will also be withdrawn.
But it can always come back.
It could always come back again. Yes. Marianne.
Majesty of sleep.
Yes.
Majesty of sleep.
Yes, that power sleeping. The power is still there, the majesty is still there, but it's sleeping, it's withdrawn, not active, not dynamic. Of course, we can have this picture of Vishnu sleeping on the infinite ocean.
Exactly.
Mariage.
A soul of things was answered to the voice, and passionately the woman's heart replied, thy energy, Lord, to seize on woman and man, to take all things and creatures in their grief, and gather them into a mother's arms.
Mm-hmm. So in answer to that possibility, Savitri hears a sob of things. Oh, is it all going to come to an end? And her heart replies passionately, give me thy energy. Let your energy be given to be able to seize on all human beings, to take all things and creatures in their grief and gather them into a mother's arms, the protective, nourishing, comforting arms of the mother.
So whether it's means that it's not that.
Can't understand
small
you.
Small letter M, mother. It's not that. It's like a.
But the arms of a mother. Yeah. She wants to be a mother to all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so Savitri wants to be the mother.
That's what she says. Give me your energy, Lord, to seize on everything, all the creatures.
Could you say a word about line 40, line 940? Why? I don't remember seeing this in any other part of the poem, but maybe you can enlighten us on
would
it.
You read the
which
line?
One?
My energy, Lord, to seize on woman and man. I have not seen woman and man before. I have seen man, but not woman in mind. Could you just say a few words about that?
I think she's just being inclusive. I want your energy to seize on all human beings.
Hmm? But anyway, whenever he sees man, it means human beings.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what can we say? We can say that symbolically, male and female, they represent two complementary powers. No? So it's just being all-inclusive, I think.
So that's why Sri Aurobindo wrote these exact words in this exact order. What you
He is a poet. And he was...
For the reason of poetry itself.
Yes, I think so.
He needs two words.
But it's also interesting to me that the thing starts with a sob, you see. It starts with the word sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman has to be free of that sorrow first before she can give the comfort. Because he seems to be, it's interesting that you asked that, because in the previous line you see the word reply.
He's often emphasizing this.
Yes, to seize on woman and man. Mm-hmm. So she has to have the power, instead of being crushed, she has to have the power to comfort. And gather it all in.
She's a mother, no?
This Christmas she's doing that for Aleppo. Huh? They're celebrating Christmas in Aleppo. No more bombing.
We'll go on. Manoha.
Solemn and distant like a seraph lyre, the last great time the warning sound was heard. I open the wide eye of solitude to uncover the voiceless structure of my bliss, where in a pure and exquisite hush it lies, motionless in its slumber of ecstasy, resting from the sweet madness of the dance, out of whose beat the throbbing of hearts was born.
Mm. It's as if the voice is getting further and further away. Mm.
It's like the final temptation. She means to just take it for yourself, sister. She says no.
But this is number four. No?
This is number four. Bliss, yeah. But he's offering her a solitary bliss, no? I'm opening the wide eye of my solitude, my aloneness. I'm opening up the silent, voiceless rapture of my bliss. It's lying in silence. It's a pure and exquisite hush. It's motionless. It's in a slumber of ecstasy. It's resting from the dance of creation, no? The sweet madness of the dance, out of whose beat the throb of hearts was born. So it's offering to draw everything back into this silent, motionless ecstasy.
What is touching to me also is that from the sweet madness of dance, no, the moving, there is a heart born.
Yes.
That is something that...
The beat, the rhythm of the dance.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but if he stops the rhythm, everything stops.
It's a need to start something, to stop because it's like I just
So then there's like a response from the entire universe. Tomiko, will you read? Yeah.
Breaking the silence with appeal and cry, a hymn of adoration, tireless climb, a music beat of wind uniting soul. Then all the woman yearningly replied, thy embrace, which rends the living knot of pain, thy joy, O Lord, in which all creatures thread, thy magic, flowing waters of deep love, thy sweetness, give to me for earth and man.
It's as if Savitri is the spokeswoman for the whole universe. And when this offer is made, then the whole universe is listening, and she's experiencing a response. So this hymn of adoration rises to the Lord, and it's as if it's many, many birds, all the souls flying up, beating their wings rhythmically, making music as they go. This is what she hears, that aspiration of all the souls, thy numberless souls, Lord.
It's
yes.
So it will be the end of all, not only of that.
Yes, if she chooses, then everything can come to an end. Yeah. What's she going to choose? So she's made her choice now. Yes, Patty.
Well, I just have to say, since this is Christmas, I have to say this line, thy sweetness give to me for earth and men. The mother has given that in a very practical way in the form of Santa Claus. We saw this film last night, The Miracle of 34th Street. And it was a very profound film. It was a comedy in a way, but they were trying to disprove that Santa Claus existed. This man showed up and he said, I'm the real Santa Claus. So they took him to court and they had to prove it. So the final proof was that they brought out the dollar bill and it said, in God we trust. And it says, you believe that God is there without proof, so you can believe in Santa Claus also. He says he's the symbol of the spirit of goodness and generosity. And it's true, no?
You know, there's mother had a devotee or a sadhika in the ashram who was very much in love with Father Christmas. And so one Christmas, we can find it in Mother's collected works, Mother, for her, she wrote a poem letter to dear Father Christmas, you who are the giver of good gifts, give abundantly to me so that I can give to all. Sorry? It's that.
One sadhika, she was Muslim.
So
she prayed to her for a lot of money, thousands of rupees. Yeah. And on the exact day, the exact same amount came.
So nice. So Father Christmas exists. I always think that Father Christmas is an aspect of Sri Aurobindo. No, he doesn't need a red hat. He's just pouring out all his love and everything.
I just read that in the agenda this morning. Mother said when Sri Aurobindo was in the body here that there was never any shortage of money.
Anyway, Father Christmas doesn't only give money, no. He spreads joy. He gives good gifts.
Yes, that's
so that's what she's asking for here.
Yeah. Which very much resonate what is the last line, thy sweetness give to me for earth and man.
Yeah, would you read it? Yeah.
Yes, please.
But I want to read it in full.
Okay. Yes, please read it.
Father Christmas, I awoke you today. Answer our call. Come bearing all your marvelous gifts. You are the great dispenser of worldly possessions. You are the untiring friend who hears every request and grants it generously. Give each one the material object he desires. And as for me, give me enough. Give me much so that I may give largely to all.
Thank you. That's the full message. Yeah. Beautiful.
So what you
does it give
Santa?
A year? Does it give a year?
The year?
Last
72.
71.
No, it can't be because this Muslim Sadiqa was no longer with us then.
It's a different story. This is mother's own prayer, right? This is mother's own prayer in her own handwriting.
72 it was.
Okay. All right. Great.
That just shows never get mad at Santa Claus if he doesn't give what you want because the mother says, she says give to all. She's the intercessor to get him.
So Savitri's made her choice. So now what happens next?
So could you say that this describes how mother decided we to truly become the universal mother?
We can say that this is a you mean in the poem?
Yeah, the way it's described here, where he has this choice and she makes the choice of
I think she's already made the choice long before, even when she was born, she was carrying this will in her. But this whole story and all the challenges and obstructions and so on, it has shown us how she's kept this will unchanging in the face of even these temptations, these ultimate temptations. So let's see. What is the response? Helmut, you would read?
Then, after silence, a still blissful cry began, such as arose from the infinite and the first whisperings of the strange delight imagined in its deep the joy to seek, the passion to discover and to touch, the enamored love which rhymes the chanting world. O beautiful body of the incarnate world, thy thoughts are mine. I have spoken with thy voice. My will is thine. If thou hast chosen, I choose. All thou hast, I give to open him. All shall be written out in destiny's book by my trusty of thought.
Thank you. So this blissful cry is coming from the transcendent, I think. And he says it's similar to the cry which arose from the infinite. When the first idea occurred, the first conception, the first whisperings of a strange delight imagined in its deep, the joy to seek. The Supreme is utterly fulfilled forever, no? But the imagining what it would be like to be unsatisfied, to seek. The passion to discover and to touch. This is what has brought this manifestation into existence, this particular one. The enamored laugh, the Supreme laughed lovingly, and the sound of that laugh brought into existence all these worlds that are singing their adoration of the divine. So it's a similar sort of sound of newness and expectation. And he says, you, Savitri, you're the beautiful body of the incarnate word, the creative power. And I just looked back to page 693, before she was taken up to the transcendent realm. The Godhead there called her, O living power of the incarnate word. And he said, all that the spirit has dreamed, thou canst create. Uh, 802, O living power of the incarnate word. All that the spirit has dreamed, thou canst create. You only have to choose it and it will happen, no? You are the force by which I made the worlds. You are my vision and my will and my voice. So now he says, yes, yes, you did it right. What you chose is what I choose. And it's all going to be fulfilled. All thou hast asked to earth and men. But it's not going to happen straight away. It's going to be written out in Destiny's book, recorded what has to happen. And it's going to be carried out by my trustee of thought and plan and act. So these things have to be worked out by thought and plan and act. But it's going to be worked out by the executor of my will, eternal time.
I thought in that way in the Mata Mandira inner chamber, there's 12, it's like a clock, it's eternal time.
So that's a good place to stop. We'll just listen to number
23.
Number 23.
No, it's not possible. The executor is mother's, creatrix, Savitri.
But here
now
he
the
says.
Same time also, because the drawing is her power, no?
Yes, everything.
Time becomes the executor instead of the mother.
No, in this particular manifestation that we're in, everything is worked out in space, in time, and in individual expressions of the divine. So, time is one of the essential factors in all realization. In yoga also, they say, no, the four aids. It's the guru, the shastra, the zeal, of the sadhika, and time. And he says, time, we experience, in our human state, we experience it as sometimes often an obstacle, but it's really a great tool. We learn to make use of time. That's in synthesis of yoga.
So, I think last week, last Sunday, you mentioned that we need to be patiently impatient.
Patient and impatient at the same time, satisfied and dissatisfied at the same time. Yeah.
The aspiration to be rich.
And I think that's what this this utsaha, this zeal, enthusiasm of the sadhak, it should be that everything be achieved now, or at least as soon as possible, but at the same time has the calm patience to allow things, allow time to do its work.
So
That's a difficult balancing act for human beings. Mm-hmm. Let's hear Mother's voice.
Ring of the silence is still blissful light. Oh, beautiful body, a reincarnate world, thy thoughts are mine. I have spoken with thy voice. My will is thine. What thou hast chosen, I choose. All thou hast asked, I give to earth and men. Now will I do in thee my marvelous works. O Son Word, thou shalt raise the earth's soul to flight and bring it down God into the lives of men. Summing in thy single soul, my mystic world, I will put us in thee, my universe, the universe, find all I am in thee.
Thanks to Sherpindor.